Book 5, Chapter 1, Valley View Ranch, North Las Vegas, Nevada, 23:45 hours, 2 September 2005.
Yeah, I know, it's almost 2 in the morning back there, Sergeant Charlie Mulroney said into his cellular phone. I gotta watch. This is the first chance I had to call.
He was standing on a small patio carved out of the mountain about 50 feet below and 50 yards from his room in the house. Small, dim lights lined the path leading to the house and were mounted on a low stone wall at the edge of the patio. He had peered over the edge of the wall. The lights didn't illuminate much, but there was enough light to see it was almost a sheer drop from the patio wall for at least 50 feet, and probably more.
Not in Vegas, Byron. Maybe 25 miles outside of Vegas, on the side of a mountain.
You want to keep interrupting me, or do you want me to tell you what happened?
Okay. First, we landed in the middle of nowhere where that German or Argentine or whatever the fuck he is, Colonel, got off. Nah, there was no sign anywhere. This was a private field. I think Castillo's got something to do with it. He got off the airplane and kissed some old lady. Then we come to Vegas. They parked the airplane in a hangar, and some little guy named Casey drove us out here in a Cadillac Suburban. Or whatever the fuck they call him. Did I learn anything on the airplane? No. McGuire, the Secret Service guy, did a pretty good job of pumping me to find out what I do on the job. But when I asked him, like, where are we going? Or when we landed in the middle of nowhere? Where was that? What was that? He turned into a clam. And when I asked him what he did for Castillo, he said, this and that. Okay. So we got here, and this Casey character brings us out here in his white Escalade. That's what they call those Cadillac Suburbans. Escalades. Great big fucking house on the side of a mountain. Great big fucking swimming pool. The room they gave me is about as big as my whole downstairs. Jacuzzi and the shower that's so big it don't even need a door. But the cellular says no signal, so I couldn't call, so I figured I'd wait until later. So this guy Casey's got a barbecue set up with a cook and great big steaks and enough booze to take a bath in. So Castillo cooks the steaks and they start in on the booze and I figure maybe now I'll learn something. Didn't happen. All they did was talk about the army, the special forces. I don't know how much is bullshit, but this Casey guy, to hear him tell it, practically won the Vietnam War by himself. I don't know if they believed it or not, Byron. I think so, but nobody's going to call a guy a bullshitter in his own house, especially since he's putting free radios in your airplane. Because Castillo told him he's got a bunch of money in something called the Lorimer Charitable and Benevolent Fund and can pay for them. Casey said, you know your money's no good here, Charlie. I don't know what Casey's angle is. And if there's any connection with this Lorimer charitable whatever and Junior's buddy Lorimer, I don't know what it is. Okay, so finally I said I had a long day and was going to turn in. So I went to my room and then out onto a little patio, whatever, outside it. You can see just about all there is to see in Vegas from there. And for the hell of it, I tried the cellular again. I got maybe a bar and a half. So I see another patio down the mountain, about 50 yards from the house. Walk to it, and the fucker works here. So I called you. Yeah, Byron, I know it ain't much, but you just got all I have. I have no fucking idea what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't pass out a schedule, for Christ's sake. Yeah, I'll call you whenever I have something.
Mulroney took the cell phone from his ear and looked at it.
You son of a bitch! You hung up on me.
Perhaps he didn't hang up on you, Sergeant Mulroney, Castillo said. Mulroney jumped. Perhaps you just lost the connection, Castillo went on, evenly. Cellulars are not very reliable out here.
You scared me, Colonel, Mulroney said after a moment. I didn't hear you come up.
I didn't scare you, I don't think, but I think I embarrassed you.
Was there something wrong with the telephone in your room, Sergeant Mulroney? Couldn't get a dial tone?
Mulroney didn't reply. Or was it because you didn't want us to know you were making your report to Captain Timmons? Is that why you sneaked out here to use your cellular?
Mulroney looked at him almost defiantly.
Not really fuck you defiant. He's worried. Now let's see how far I can push him.
Castillo held out his hand and wiggled the fingers in a give-it-to-me gesture. Mulroney looked at Castillo's hand, and then his face, and back at the hand.
Give me the phone, Castillo ordered.
Mulroney looked again at Castillo's face as if trying to understand.
So what do I do now? Try to take it away from him?
Give me the phone, Castillo repeated. Mulroney didn't move or respond.
Give the colonel the fucking phone, asshole, or I'll throw you and it off the mountain.
The voice in the dark startled Castillo. He hadn't heard anyone walking up on them. He now saw that Lorimer was standing beside him.
I'm not going to tell you again, Lorimer said.
Mulroney put the cellular in Castillo's hand. Castillo threw it down the mountain.
What the fuck?
Mulroney protested incredulously.
You are not permitted to have a cellular telephone, Castillo said calmly.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Mulroney demanded.
There wasn't much conviction in that indignation.
The next time you say something like that to the colonel, I'm going to break your arm before I throw you down the mountain.
Fuck you, soldier boy, Mulroney said. 5 seconds later, Sergeant Mulroney found himself on his stomach. His arm was twisted painfully behind him, his cheek was pressed into the rough ground, and Lieutenant Lorimer's knee, the titanium one Castillo saw, was pressed painfully into the small of his back. He howled in pain.
Permission to dislocate his shoulder, sir?
Lorimer asked. Castillo waited 5 seconds, long enough, he judged, for Mulroney to have time to consider that he might actually be about to have his shoulder dislocated, before replying,
Put him on his back, Lieutenant. If he even looks like he's considering trying to get up, kick some teeth out.
Yes, sir.
10 seconds later, Sergeant Mulroney was lying absolutely motionless on his back. Lieutenant Lorimer was squatting at his head, pulling Mulroney's chin back with one hand and holding the 8-inch blade of a knife against his throat with the other.
Permission to speak, sir?
Lieutenant Lorimer said.
Granted. Let me toss him down the mountain, sir.
I don't want to kill him unless I have to, Castillo said.
Just let him get busted up a little, sir,
Lorimer argued.
Break an ankle? A leg? An arm?
How would we explain his accident? Castillo asked reasonably.
Well, everybody knows he's a boozer. I'll call Captain Timmons and tell him he got drunk, was wandering around the mountain, and fell off.
Is that a credible scenario?
Yes, sir, I think so. Who are they going to believe, the family drunk or you and me?
The problem with that is they would just send somebody else to snoop on us, Castillo said.
That's true, sir,
Lorimer acknowledged.
But we could deal with that situation as it came up, and we could probably be long gone before they could send someone else.
True. Okay. Sergeant Mulroney, you have 10 seconds to tell me why I should not permit Lieutenant Lorimer to throw you down the mountain.
You people are out of your fucking minds,
Sergeant Mulroney said.
Possibly, but I don't see that as a reason not to send you down the mountain.
5 seconds.
I'm a cop, for Christ's sake. You can't get away with this.
Time's up. Carry on, Lieutenant.
What we're going to do now, Lieutenant Lorimer said, touching the tip of the knife blade to the throat to discourage any sudden movement, is very slowly get to our feet.
Jesus, what the fuck do you want from me? You don't want me to call Chicago? All right, I won't call Chicago. I swear to God. I swear on my mother's grave, I'll never call Chicago. Jesus Christ. Please. I've got a wife, junior sister, and kids.
He doesn't get the picture, does he, Lieutenant?
No, sir, it would appear he doesn't have a clue.
Explain it to him, please.
Yes, sir. Asshole, we don't care if you call Chicago every hour on the hour, but what we can't have is you running at the mouth to somebody else who'll run at the mouth and blow this operation and get people, including my pal Byron, killed.
I wouldn't do that, Sergeant Mulroney said, more than a little righteously. Junior's my brother-in-law, for Christ's sake. My wife's brother.
I've always wondered what her brother-in-law was, Castillo said. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
What?
Mulroney asked, visibly confused.
Have you anything else you want to say to us? Castillo asked. What the fuck do I have to say to make you understand? I'd never do anything to hurt Junior.
Byron told me he told you not to call him Junior, and you wouldn't stop until he knocked you on your ass, Lorimer said. And we have a similar situation here, wouldn't you say, Colonel?
I'm afraid he looks that way to me. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Exactly as it was necessary for Byron to knock you on your ass to get you not to say the wrong thing, it looks to me that I'm going to have to put you down the mountain now to keep you from saying the wrong thing. We're talking about people getting killed because of your runaway mouth.
I'd never say...
Sergeant Mulroney began, then he had a sudden inspiration.
What if I told you what I was going to say to Byron's father before I said it? I mean, before I called. And you could tell me if there was something I shouldn't say, and I wouldn't. And you could listen to me making the call.
When there was no reaction from either Castillo or Lorimer, Mulroney added, somewhat plaintively,
Jesus, guys, we're on the same side here.
You don't call the colonel guy, asshole.
Sorry, colonel, sir.
That might work, sir, Lorimer said. Operative word might. On the other hand, I don't want to have to kill him unless it's really necessary.
Give me a chance, and I promise you'll never regret it, Mulroney said.
What do you want to do, sir? Flip a coin? Lorimer asked, his tone serious.
As he points out, Lieutenant, he is Special Agent Timmons's brother-in-law. If it could be avoided, I would prefer not to get Special Agent Timmons back, only to tell him that we had to terminate his brother-in-law in order to guarantee the security of the operation.
For your consideration, sir, Special Agent Timmons is not all that fond of the asshole. Nevertheless, I think that we should take the chance.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant Lorimer said, his voice showing his deep disappointment.
Let him up, Lieutenant, Castillo ordered. Get him on his feet.
You heard the colonel, asshole. Stand up.
Sergeant, Castillo then said, I want you to understand that I am authorizing your immediate termination should you ever get close to a telephone without Lieutenant Lorimer or myself being present. Understood?
Yeah. Lorimer barked. Say yes, sir, when you're talking to the colonel.
Yes, sir.
You are dismissed, Sergeant. Please stay in your room until you are called for breakfast.
Yes, sir.
Castillo made a motion as if brushing away a fly, and Sergeant Mulroney started quickly walking up the path to the house. 15 seconds later, Colonel Castillo whispered, If you are about to have the giggles, Lorimer, and asshole hears you, I'll throw you down the mountain. Lieutenant Lorimer acknowledged the order by bobbing his head. He didn't trust himself to open his mouth, the bottom lip of which he was biting as hard as he could.